Ahead of the upcoming federal election, Survivor Secretariat continues to call for answers on funding denials from the federal government and are now urging the political parties of Canada to commit to working with survivors and organizations documenting the truths behind the Indian residential school system in Canada. So joining me to talk about this is Survivor Secretariat lead Laura Arndt. So thank you very much for doing this today, Laura.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to chat with you.
And so to start with the federal election just around the corner, can you give me your thoughts as we head into that and what impact does this election and the result of it have on the organization?
The election counts for everything for the Secretariat in many ways, in part because the largest portion of the funding we receive to lead our investigation activities come from the federal government. In addition, as we take a look at the election that's playing out, we're particularly interested on how each of the political platforms are addressing concerns specific to unmarked burial investigations, but also more broadly to issues of importance to Indigenous people.
And so based on those concerns that each political party and their platform are addressing, are there any specific requests or supports that Survivor Secretariat are asking from the federal parties ahead of the election?
I think the thing that we're looking for is no matter which party is elected into leadership, we ask that they do provide long-term sustainable funding to conduct the search / investigations that are happening across the country. And that means for the Survivor Secretariat as well. We also want to ensure that as part of that long-term funding for missing children and unmarked burials, that there is funding in place to support the ability of communities to ensure commemoration activities are able to continue. And that includes bringing survivors together across Canada so that they can continue to do the work of shaping and informing our investigation activities. And I think the other thing we're really hoping for from the parties is a framework around combating denialism. We really do believe that by funding the work underway, ensuring commemoration activities continue, and supporting our ability to conduct the research into records and documents, these are very effective strategies to combating denialism. And another part of that from all the parties is that we're hoping that by ensuring that the truth about what happened at Indian residential schools happened, the truth about genocide, that ensuring that this is becomes part of a broader education framework is that what it does is it better inoculates people in this country against the denialist arguments, because when you have the truth and the facts, denialism cannot take hold. And so our hope is that the parties will really take this on in a real fulsome way. You know, I know when parties like the Liberal Party talk about building a future that makes Canada strong, having a truth-based history and a bravery to take on the legacy of the past is also part of what makes Canada strong. Truth-telling makes Canada strong. You know, when we take a look at issues of self-determination, we also want to make sure that we get access to the records and documents, because part of being self-determining is being able to own our own narrative and our own history, and that it doesn't continue to be consumed by this pan-Canadian history that exists. So our hope is that the parties are really going to take on some of these issues. We have been able to see that the NDP have a pretty comprehensive framework. We also see the Green Party has taken on a stronger framework around reconciliation, work with Indigenous people, everything from unmarked burials through to education. The Liberal Party speaks to it more so broadly from an economic framework, but we really, you know, there are things that we saw that could really be helpful around addressing the barriers that we face around access to all records and documents. We have seen that, you know, under the current government, under murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls, we've been able to create frameworks, national frameworks, that were able to give access to records and documents to help find murdered and missing. We think the Liberal Party could do the same if they applied the same framework to Indian residential school systems and, you know, providing agreements that allow us to have access to records across child welfare, youth justice, the same systems that were used to access information for murdered and missing, we think those need to happen. You know, within the Conservative Party, you know, our hope is that as they talk about restraining spending and addressing red tape, we're hoping that maybe they're going to be able to provide some detail about how this will apply to how they'll hold CERNAC and ISC accountable. I think, you know, we do need to reduce red tape in ministries where the bureaucracy gets in the way of Indigenous communities being able to do their work. But it also means there needs to be investment as well. So, I you know, each platform of each party has an opportunity to expand and build. I think overall, our hope is that it doesn't become a partisan issue. This should just be a nation-building issue, that truth-telling should be something all levels of a government commit to and should be something that we hope they're going to start their new period in as government, as really identifying commitments to how they're going to work with Indigenous people, specifically Indian residential school survivors.
And I guess, how would you describe the current level of federal support? You mentioned at the top, a large portion of funding is through a federally ran program. And the last time we talked, we were talking about how that funding was essentially cut off, right? So I guess, how would you describe that level of federal support?
Well, we know the federal support into missing children and unmarked burials has substantially decreased. In the 2024 April budget, funding was reduced to $92 million over 2 years. In the first year, we saw $0. And when I look at the numbers for Ontario alone, the overall amount of funding provided to investigation work in the province of Ontario went down. And there are a number of agreements that basically were not renewed, including our own. We saw no funding in 2024, 2025, nor has Canada been communicated with us since February of 2025. We don't get responses to emails. We don't get response to phone calls. You know, when you think of where Canada stands right now on this area, I would say they stand in silence. And it's not surprising to me, given that just last week or the week before, the Canadian Journalism Society released a Code of Silence Awards, and Canada was, you know, a key target for their failure to release records and documents. And I just thought the Code of Silence Award is a perfect framework or set of language to use around where we stand as Indigenous communities work doing this work. We sit in the space that is protected by Canada's Code of Silence. They don't talk to us, they don't share information with us, and we're left often sending emails and correspondence asking for follow-up when none comes. It's a pretty rough space we sit in these days when, you know, we've got an election where people are talking about their commitment to Indigenous people, but we sit in this space of a cone of silence because nobody will talk to us when it comes to funding and the important work that we're leading right now.
And so I guess in saying all that, what would meaningful federal commitment look like? I know you mentioned a long-term commitment. So what does that look like to you?
So I think the long-term commitment, I think number one starts with the immediate release of the 24.1 million documents. There are many communities who are well-positioned to help inform a way to do that. But we want the records released. And those records are critical because those records contain information about the children who attended the school, the operations of the school, the role government played, sometimes the role of churches. So we need the records and documents. I think number two, I think Canada needs to put a realistic funding framework around the cost of doing this work. In our first 3 years, we received $10.2 million from Canada. That funding essentially allowed us to do the first 3 years of work into a history of operation that runs 140 years. So Canada needs to attach funding frameworks that realistically align with the amount of work that's involved with each team's investigation. I think number three, Canada genuinely needs to revisit its application guidelines around those communities who are significantly basing their work in invasive archaeology. Archaeology has now been removed from eligible funding areas. And so if you're looking for unmarked burials and you cannot put a shovel in the ground, that doesn't help us in the work. I think the other thing that needs to happen is I think there has to be a framework that allows communities to build capacity around data sovereignty and data governance, because whether you're doing ground search or records and document search, the work is extremely expensive. And it's expensive because it's research. And these are comprehensive research activities that have never been done in the country before. And to try and say that you can uncover 140 years of history to find children, to find factors that impacted how children died with a very small budget of less than $1 million, it's not realistic. And I think the other part of this is that Canada has to become part of the truth-telling narrative by saying and speaking to the importance of the work that needs to be done, creating new spaces for collaboration, relationship, and work that allows communities to work with experts in the field, be they anthropologists, archaeologists, historians, so that communities can redefine research relationships and redefine how they want to lead this work. But it requires that Canada becomes an active champion and supporter and not a gatekeeper. And I think the final thing that Canada could do is that it needs to make this an issue that doesn't stand on the merit of an election period. So, you know, whether it's a Liberal government, a Conservative government, an NDP government, Green Party, or a Bloc Party government, the commitment nationally should be that these resources that are put in place are there for, I would say, at least the next 15 to 20 years, and that it's revisited within a 2-year window of that funding period ending so that people can know what's happening. The way it sits right now, we sat for 11 months waiting for a decision with no funding, and it was in the 11th hour in the middle of the night that we were told we were getting no funding. We are now April 25th of a new funding year, an application submitted, and not even an email informing us when we can expect a decision on our funding. So right now, Canada is absent in its relationship to this work, and it's absent in communicating commitment, and it's largely absent in its relationship with Indian residential school survivors, which is counter to everything that the calls to action speak to, because almost every call to action speaks to a federal or governmental responsibility to the reconciliation frame. And we're not seeing that.
And just on the importance of this issue, and in terms of the other issues that continue to get talked about with all the different political campaigns and of each party, what do you make of all that? And where do you believe the work that Survivor Secretariat does falls on that priority list?
I would be honest, I couldn't tell you where it sits on the priority list of those who are running for leadership, because you see what they, you know, what's written on their platform documents. But when I watch the news every day, I don't hear this coming up in anybody's conversations. You know, for the large part, the current political landscape has been hijacked by the issues associated with the United States political agenda around tariffs. And I don't think I don't use that word in a negative sense. I think it's the nature of the economy and the importance of what that means for Canada and its sovereignty are very important to the country. The unfortunate part of it is the issues that are critically important to the people living in this country are greater than what we're seeing playing out with the U.S. And for Indian residential school survivors, they're not seeing themselves in this campaign. I think the Chiefs of Ontario have released a statement. I know the AFN has released a statement, but we're not seeing leaders talking about this at all unless they're standing in front of a question that's being raised by somebody who is Indigenous, who is a residential school survivor, somebody who's leading the work like we are. And I think, you know, while we hear all of what people talk about around protecting our culture as Canada and elbows up, it's interesting how that's embraced. But when Indigenous people talk about this work and unmarked burial work, and we talk about the importance of protecting and preserving a history that attacked our culture, that attacked our sense of identity and belonging, we sit in that space of silence. So it's interesting how and when we are part of the Canadian notion of culture, but how isolated we are when the political platforms talk about indigenous nations and their cultures, because they don't speak to it.
And I guess just in saying all that, lastly, with all the asks and requests from Survivor Secretariat, how will you hold these political parties and Canada to these promises after the election?
Well, for us, you know, we've already put correspondence on our website platform asking the parties to commit. As soon as we know the outcome of the election, we will be writing to all the parties, because there will be a government and then there will be opposition. So we want to ensure that as we communicate, we can continue to communicate with those who are elected to lead and those who will be holding that government to account. Even while they've been in election mode, we have stayed active in our advocacy. We met with Senator Kim Pate this past Monday to talk about the Senate report on missing records, missing children. We also talked about issues of importance to Indigenous people. We're hoping to follow up with Senator Francis and Senator Arnott about their development of that report and how we can continue to work with the Senate and government to try and see this work move forward. We will continue to meet with leaders and critics to ensure that we find conduits by which to keep the work moving ahead. While we're assertive in our approach and direct in our approach, we have continued to try and maintain a relationship of reciprocity as we've sought funding, because we do think there's a role for government in healing. We do see a role for government through the funding of our investigations to create new spaces for education, for research, for learning. But more importantly, we do see by doing this work together that we can potentially stand together as Canada faces its horrific history with Indigenous people. And when we talk about Canada, we don't talk about it from one politician or political party. We talk about it from an entire framework of nation building. And the most important thing is as we do this work, we want people across the country to realize we all have a role, and that this is a history many people were not aware of, and it's a history that we need to face together, because we have to figure out how we stop it from ever happening again. So our work is trying to keep the conversation moving forward, and we try and do that as much as we can from a place of good medicine.
All right, Laura, thank you very much for doing this, and I'm sure we'll talk again once everything gets settled next Monday.
No problem. You take care. And thank you, as always, for reaching out. I really do appreciate the opportunity to share about our work.
I'm Andrew Dow, and this news story is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, which supports the creation of original civic journalism.